Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. I never had a snowblower growing up or even into my adulthood, even though most of my years were spent in Minnesota. I always shoveled, unless my neighbors took pity on me after a snowstorm and came over with their snowblower. But 7 years ago, when I was up in northwestern Minnesota, the church there decided to buy a snowblower for the parsonage. And so I was excited, for I knew that it was coming. And then it arrived, and I saw it with my own eyes, this very impressive 254cc Briggs & Stratton engine, this bright orange Ariens snowblower, 21 inches high, 28 inches wide. I saw it. So I was excited that it was coming, and I saw it when it arrived, and then I also knew beforehand how it would perform. I read up on it. I even watched a video about it. And so, again, I was excited that it was coming, and I saw it with my own eyes, and I knew how it would perform. I knew what it would do. And this is somewhat similar to what we see with Simeon in our text here today. First of all, Simeon anticipated the coming of the Christ. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous, devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he had this excited anticipation. Simeon knew that the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, was coming within his own lifetime. He had God's promise on it. And obviously, Simeon believed God's promise. We assume that he was old. We don't know that for sure, but if he was older, he may have had to wait quite a few years for this promise to him to be fulfilled. But he wasn't the only one who had been waiting. The people of Israel had been waiting a long time as well. The last prophecy they had of the coming Christ was probably 400 years earlier, but if you go all the way back to the time of Abraham, that means the people of Israel had been waiting probably about 2,000 years for the coming Messiah. And if you go back to the very first promise of the Messiah, the one that was made at the time of the fall back in Genesis chapter 3, believers in God's mercy and the coming Messiah had been waiting about 4,000 years. So waiting for the Christ, waiting for the Messiah, who would be the consolation, the comfort of Israel, the one who would fix everything, the one who would put an end to the consequences of the fall, the one who would be the solution for sin. And Simeon especially was waiting with anticipation for this coming because of that specific promise made to him. You will not die, the Holy Spirit said, until you see the Lord's Christ. And then Simeon saw. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people. The Christ arrived, and Simeon saw him, and he held him in his arms. Several things to mention here. Because Simeon saw him, he would now depart in peace. In other words, he was saying, I can die in confidence, not having to fear death, content with what awaits me on the other side of the grave, which is eternal life. Why? Because, as he said, this child is God's salvation, your salvation, God's salvation for Simeon was right there in that person. Simeon's salvation was not in Simeon. It wasn't in his own deeds, his attitude, or his anticipation. But Simeon's salvation was completely in that little child. And in that child alone. So Simeon had confidence and hope because of that little child. Again, why? Why would Simeon put all his eggs in one basket? Why would he put all his confidence in this little child and none in himself or anyone else? Well, again, look at the words of Simeon. My eyes have seen your salvation that you, Lord, have prepared. God prepared. God put together this little package, which is salvation for and for me. And this little package, this person, you prepared. This person is both the eternally begotten Son of God and the human offspring of Mary. In one person, we find these two natures, the divine. Lesson for the day as well. When the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, one more thing to say about what Simeon saw. He says this would take place in the sight of all people. In other words, this was an historical event. It was something that took place in time. Place my only begotten Son. And within his earthly life of 33 years, I am going to accomplish salvation for all of humanity, including for sin. Now, why do I mention this? It's kind of a no-brainer. I mention this because there is a very common belief among people that God and his salvation can be found outside of light of this 33-year historical event, people will often say something like, God loves me and all people, and he will save me and all people, because that's just the way God is. But they say in such a way as if the history of Jesus in time and space was not essential. As if a loving God and salvation would be a reality without these 33 years. We have lived, we continue to live in a very watered down stage or age of Christianity where many preachers hardly mention this essential foundation of Christianity, namely Christ and what took place within those 33 years of his life.
You'll find many churches where the real, live, true history of Jesus is ignored. Sometimes they will come right out and say or reply
that real history, but it is real history. It's the most important and essential 33 years of history. So you and I ought to thank God, because here we are in this church where almost every Sunday we confess the creeds. And those creeds, when you think about it, those creeds we say do portion, they do focus on a portion of that 33-year history. We say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was, and here comes the history part, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. So this is real history, people. And we can never forget that. Real, live, true history. The history of Christ here on earth, which is the only place and the only time where we find the mercy of God and his salvation established. Only there. So, number one, Simeon believed Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. He had great anticipation. Number two, Simeon saw him. And that brings us to number three. Simeon not only had an excited anticipation of the coming of Christ, he not only saw him, not only saw the Christ that God prepared and was Simeon's peace and salvation, but also number three, he knew how this
person would
perform, what he would do during those 33 years. Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Again, going back to the snowblower analogy, I knew how it would perform. I knew what it would do, because I had read up on it and watched that video. So, when I tried it out, throw snow 50 feet. Wow. The machine not only looked impressive when it arrived, but it also performed impressively. And that's infinitely more true about Christ. He never sinned. Wow. He performed miracles. Wow.
Never lost his faith. Wow. He was the Lord of the universe. Wow.
But there was something in his performance that would make us of many in Israel, for a
sign that is opposed. And what his performance, what he would do, would cause a
sword to pierce the soul of Mary.
And his heart would be pierced because of what would happen to the son. Isaiah put it this way.
He was despised and
rejected by men. A man of suffering. He was like someone
people turned away from. That hatred would be revealed within months, right after this time with Joseph had to take his wife and stepson, flee to Egypt to get away from the murderous plans of Herod. And then when Jesus entered his public ministry at the age of 30, result in his crucifixion on the cross. And this would pierce Mary's heart. So, we might find it hard to say wow to this. Until we know and believe what his suffering, his passion was all about. The suffering, crucifixion, and death would be how he would perform. Simeon knew and believed that this is what this child, which was his salvation, would have.
For in that
performance of suffering and dying is the payment, the atonement, for all sins, for the salvation of the human race. In that performance, in that doing, is the forgiveness of all sins. And this is why seeing, this is why Simeon would now be able to depart and die in peace. So we could pray, Lord, help me to be like Simeon. Lord, help me to have great excitement because of the real Christmas, that amazing birth of your son whom you sent. Lord, help me to believe that in him is my salvation. I can each day walk
confident, not
fear of anything that the world Satan throws at me. Lord, help me to remember that
this salvation and peace was accomplished for me
only because of that 33-year history of your son on earth. Now, considering Simeon's example, I think it's important for us to realize that we are living in unusual days where there seem to be thrown at us things that would cause us more fear than usual. Just reading another sermon this last week from another pastor who I think put it quite well. I'm just going to paraphrase some of the things he said. During the past several months, the lives of people in our society have been afflicted by fear and by the consequences of fear, much more than usual. He was not just talking about the fear of coronavirus. He mentioned the protests, the riots, the arson, the looting, the fear of, that some people had of police, the fear of violent crime, fear because of the political realm. Some people thought we might become a fascist state, we might. Some people thought we might become a socialist or communist state, we might. He pointed out the effects of the coronavirus will continue, at least for the time being. People are afraid that they themselves or their loved ones might get sick and die. People are afraid that businesses will be destroyed or that their jobs will be lost. People are afraid that their rights and liberties will be taken from them by the overreach of governing authorities and others. And you and I, at this church and personally, we've had our own unique trying times. Plans have been changed. An unexpected death, the ongoing effects of COVID-19, and various other strains as well. Unexpected, but they are here. And so for us, right now, Simeon is just the most wonderful example. Simeon, who had this great excitement over the coming Christ, and we too have excitement because of the birth of Christ. Simeon saw him with his own eyes, and we see Christ revealed to us in Scripture so clearly. And of course, Simeon foresaw the tremendous passion, the suffering that Christ would have to go through. And you and I know all about that suffering and death, followed by his resurrection. And so we can say with Simeon that we do not have to fear. We know that this little child, this little package is our salvation. We have peace. We can, no matter what, walk confidently and depart in peace. In just a few minutes, Christ again will come to those of us who are receiving the Lord's Supper. We will take his body and blood into our hands and receive him into our mouths. The very same body and blood that were on the cross and were there for the forgiveness of our sins and are today for the forgiveness of our sins. So it only makes sense that once we have seen, held, and received this most precious Christ, we sing with Simeon, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And we end by singing, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. Please rise. Now may the grace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the offertory.